This is when we were at Shiloh. Right there to the right, you see the officers. The IDF is standing there. Right to the right is where the Mishkan stood for 396 years, I believe, almost 400 years. And you talking about an awesome place to be, standing there. And if you can see the mountain right there beside it, I'm going to probably just bounce through a couple of them. This is looking at the Mishkan where it stood during that time. You can see the mountain range still going around. What I wanted to show you is this, is that when the children of Israel, when they would pilgrimage during that time to Shiloh, they would eat the Passover. They would sit. They were in this mountain right in this area right here. See all this right in here? There were trails all the way along, different layers where people would walk, and they would sit all along the mountainside there. Also, all up in here, the children of Israel, whenever they would do Passover, they would sit in the presence of the tabernacle all the way around to this other side. See, I showed you the part that was to the right. Now, that's, I don't know if that's east, west, or which, that's probably west. But you can see that direction and all the way around Shiloh. It's just an awesome place to be. But I'm going to leave that up there while we do the teaching. First of all, what I want to do is next week, we're going to do foot washing. And we usually do foot washing at Passover time during the Seder. But I thought that maybe the last couple of times we've done it, when one table would go, the other three tables were here. And it's really difficult for some of our parents to keep the children corralled. You know what I'm saying? And foot washing, I don't want to lose the beauty of it, because it is spiritual within itself. And so what I wanted to do was have that service. You know how we would come up here during Yom Kippur and you have the men do theirs and then the women? We will come up with some way of doing this next week at the end of the service. I'm going to minister on it out of John 13. And, you know, I just really debated which way to go with this. And I really feel that just like we have up here the Day of Atonement, foot washing itself is so, so, so important to me. Some people will just say, okay, I'm just going to throw a foot in there and, you know, slosh the water around and get out and dry it. That's not what it's about. And so I started with this. I said, do you know when creation first started, how was the earth? It was covered in what? It was covered in water. It was preserved in water until the time that he brought the land out of it. And then when the land and the people, not the land as much as the people, when the people during the days of Noah became so super corrupt, what did he have to do to cleanse the earth? He flooded it. He brought water back on it. So you see that there's a washing, there's a cleansing. All through the scriptures, we see mikvahs, and we see, like when we told you when we went to Israel, when you approached Jerusalem and you would approach these sites, they were places where they had mikvahs set up to where you could just go off the road. You could do your cleansing and it's preparation. This is all about preparation. And it still works that way today. Whenever you study the tabernacle, and you know that whenever you came in, only one gate into the tabernacle, into the tent, was through the east gate. You had the brazen altar. That's where the sacrifices were. But after the sacrifices, you went before you could go into the holies. You had to do what? There's a laver. And it was to wash your feet and to wash your hands. So you just couldn't just go on in there any old way you wanted to. So the Father has placed all through time the symbolics of water and what it means. Whenever Peter said, repent and be baptized. What is full immersion? This is why I believe that baptism is full immersion. It represents what? Death, burial, and resurrection. If you just do the death burial, then you're going to drown. You better resurrect, you know. So it's death burial and resurrection. And people will say, well, you ain't got to do that. The scripture says you do. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody, I don't get into this thing, if you got saved here and you died when you walked out the door, you're not going into the eternal, you know, world to come. That's not what that's about. What it's about is obeying the word. It's obeying the scriptures. It's obeying the Torah. Because it's important, and because just like confession, outwardly confession that I've made Yeshua the Lord of my life, is the same thing with baptism. Baptism, what you're doing is you're testifying who you're servant to. Did Yeshua get baptized? Absolutely he did. Did he start his ministry before he was baptized? No, he didn't. He was baptized and that set apart something. So you can see how water, and guess what? He started his ministry with baptism. He ended his ministry with a foot washing with his disciples. Because Peter said, look, you're not going to wash my feet. We're going to talk about this next week. But I just thought it was so important how he was baptized, water, and how he was to wash the disciples' feet. He was to show forth because it's preparation. So the foot washing is preparation for something. And that's what we'll talk about next week. So just be prepared. And we're going to minister on it. We're going to minister what Yeshua went through. And then we'd love for you to participate in it if you would. And you know, here's another thing too. And I believe this is important. I want our children to witness what we do. It's very important that our children witness us praying. It's important for our children to watch us up here when we're laying hands on people. And it's important for our children to come up here and lay hands on us. You know what I mean? We're teaching them. We don't just herd them up here and say, do a few good songs. And then we put them off in a room somewhere and show them VeggieTales. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about training for reigning. Amen. Okay, let's go to Exodus 34. Got a lot of ground to cover, and we're just going to get through it as best we can. What we were talking about last week, and I named this, what does Yeshua or what does Yahweh expect of us? And in verse 1, I'm just going to cover that verse again. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying this, cut for yourself, two tablets of stone, like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Now, we know this is what? The Ten Commandments, not the nine, but the ten. Okay, the ten words, these are the Ten Commandments. The reason why I picked this chapter, as we were talking about this year about Passover, about the feast, is because the end of the chapter is where I'm wanting to get to. This is what he's doing. So while the very tablets are being written on by Yahweh himself, now do we really believe here, the answer better be yes, do we still believe in the 10 words of the 10 commandments? Absolutely, we believe in all of them. They are not abolished or not done away with. So let's jump down to verse 10, because I think this is about where we left off. It says, and he says, behold, I am making a covenant before all of the people, and I will do marvels. So right here in this verse, you could read the rest of the verse, but right here I just wanted you to see, he says, I am making a covenant. This is very important. The next verse, verse 11, says this, observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Lusdalites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. Okay? He's just going to drive all of these people out before you. Wherever you live, whatever ites is in your life, he'll drive them out. Okay? Mobileites, Hattiesburgites, Coastites, whatever. Okay? That's right. So know this, that he gets rid of all of the, all of that. But he says, observe. That's the key. If you observe, because he's making a covenant, and he's saying, when I make this covenant, you have to observe this covenant. And if you do, I will drive out all of the enemies before you. Look what he says next. And this is where we've gotten in trouble as the body of Messiah. Verse 12, he says this, take care, beware, caution. Car horn going off. Bump, bump, bump. Okay, this is what he's saying. Take care. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it becomes a what to you? A snare. So he's telling you, I'm making a covenant with you. You don't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. This, I'm afraid, is what the body of Messiah has done as a whole. We've compromised, we've mixed, and what we've done is we bought into Hollywood, we bought into humanism, we bought into political, we bought into people telling us, contrary to what this word says, people, they're trying to tell us, just because somebody writes a law in there that we have to accept something, we don't have to accept that. The scriptures are very plain and clear. We are to obey the law of the land unless it goes against Yahweh's law. This law is the higher law. This law we go by. This law we live by. And just like he was saying earlier, this is who we are. there shouldn't be a separation from this book and me. This should be my clothes. This should be my skins. This should be my very heart. This should be my spirit, soul, and body. Because when I accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, I said, everything in here I will do. That's what we said. I become a slave to this book. And it tells me what to do and what not to do. I don't care who's outside that says you will do this or you will not do this. I will obey as long as it doesn't go against this word. Amen. And that's just the way it is. Because he'll tell you, if you make these covenants, what did he tell you it was going to be? A snare. That's exactly what it's going to be, is a snare. And what is a snare designed to do? To trap you, to hold you captive, and to be, that's right. So he's telling us, don't do this. And then he tells them, matter of fact, I'll tell you what you need to do. Next verse, you shall tear down their altars, you shall break their pillars, and you shall cut down their asherim. For you shall worship no other Elohim, no other Elohim, no other God, for Yahweh, whose name is jealous and is a jealous Elohim. And he goes on and he says, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they whore after other gods and sacrifice to their gods, what are they going to do to you? They're going to invite you, and you eat of his sacrifice. So what happens is you're going to see that whenever you're eating with this situation, then you're coming in covenant with it. Then guess what? Whatever judgment comes on them is going to what? It's going to fall on us too. He said that over and over and over. This year, I just, you know, chose to take it out of Exodus 34 because of what it's going to say here in just a moment. And he says this, isn't there a scripture that says don't be unequally yoked? And you take their daughters for their sons. He's saying, don't do this. And their daughters whore after their gods, and they will make your sons whore after their gods. So he's just telling you, you're going to end up committing spiritual adultery. In other words, he's saying, don't take the foreign daughters for your sons, because exactly what he told them not to do is what happened to Solomon. We know that story. He says, you shall not make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. First commandment, other than him saying, I am Yahweh. The second one is what? No idolatry. So he's telling them about idolatry. But here's where I'm going. So he's telling us about the Ten Commandments. He's telling us about covenants. And he's telling us not who to mix with and all of that. Then what does he say? Still in the same chapter, still in the same thought. And he says, you shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I have commanded you, at the appointed time of the month of Abib, which is the first month. This is what we're celebrating now. We entered into this month. For in the month of Abib, you came out from Egypt. Next verse. All that open the womb are mine. So 19 and 20, he's talking about this is the firstborn. Verse 21, he says, 6 days you shall work. But on the seventh day, you shall what? Rest. When shall you rest? In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. So he's telling you, plowing time and harvest time is not an excuse to work. He's telling you, you shall rest. Even in this time, it shall be an appointed time, a set apart time. So he lays out it very plain here in Scripture, and this is why it's important. 6 days you shall work, but on the Sabbath day you shall rest in plowing and in harvest. Now, do you know why he put that in there? Because he knew we would do what? When the butter beans are ready, we will do what? We're going after them. That's what he was saying. Whenever the wheat was ready, you're going after them. Whenever the barley was ready, you're going after them. He's saying not on these days. You can do it all these other days, but you're not going after it on these days. He put that in there because he knew we would go after it. We sort of know that by the manna. Whenever he put down manna, he said, you gather 6 days, you gather manna. And on the sixth day, you're going to gather double, because I'm not going to have it here on the seventh day. Get your double, and it's not going to be wormy on the seventh day. What did they do on the seventh day? A lot of them went out there to see where the manna was at. And they provoked Yahweh to anger by doing that. This is why he's telling us that we're in covenant. He made the covenant with us. Do you know that he makes a covenant with us? And I know this is hard for me too, This is another thing about that mustard seed faith. When he makes a covenant and he tells us something, it's on him to perform it. All pressure's off of me. All pressure's off of us, no matter how we feel, but we have to trust. And that's the hard part. Do we really trust? A lot of times it's easy to trust in something you don't see. Do we believe that Yeshua is our Savior? Amen. Those that have confessed Him as your Savior, do you believe that you're going to be in the right line at resurrection? Amen. We believe that, and we believe that with joy, but when it comes to healing, sometimes we just ain't as excited and confident. Why? Because we go off of what we feel, and because it touches us. So the thing about it is for us, it's learning to trust Him that He makes a covenant with us. And this is what He said before, if you will observe these things, I will drive out all of the inhabitants. And you know what He's saying? If you trust in Me, I'll drive out all the sickness. I'll drive out all the things that's in your life that may touch you because of whatever happens.
One of our problems, I believe, is right here. We look at, I deal with people, how many observe the speed limit coming to church? Sure. I do 70 to 65. I know how fast it's going. I've observed it. Mm-hmm. No. Observe means to notice, to see, to perceive, to discern, to detect, to spot, to fulfill or comply, to obey, to keep.
That's right.
And I think that's one of our where I know I slip sometimes because I look at observe as I observed it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Observe means I kept it.
That's right.
It's not something you look at and say, yeah, I know it's there, but.
But that's exactly right. And what happens is, and what is he saying? What he's saying is when we say that we observe and we don't, we're sinning. And what do? We open the door for things to happen. Every one of us in here has awesome intentions. I can look at you and tell you got the best intentions of the world to do right every day. But do we do right every day? Sometimes we don't. And here's what I'm saying. You may sit here and say, spiritually, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not murdered nobody. I'm here on Saturday. Do you know what I'm saying? I've done all of these things. I hadn't lied against nobody yet. The day ain't over with, but yet, you know, and all of these things. But you walk out the door and you assassinate somebody's character, you always said you murdered. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of times what we do, our lips, our mouths, our tongues get us in so much trouble that we don't realize we're so used to doing it, we don't realize that we sin because we're just whatever happens. I ain't going to go through and name them all. We'll have us all crying up here. We're going to have an altar call a little later. So if you give you the opportunity, and me too. I'm talking about me on up. This is a time in the season. I want to go into Passover right. You hear me? And it gives us a chance because you don't ever know. I'm just saying we sit back there and when we look at sin, a lot of times we look at the big things. That's just what we do. And we judge it by that and we think we're okay. But then when we go through and we allow somebody to draw the wrong conclusion because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings, we're not telling the truth. When they ask you a question, they expect the answer. They want to know the answer. But yet, I don't like controversy. So I don't like to just flat out just tell them, you know, when they walk up and say, how do I look today? Sometimes you look good. But what are you wearing today? You know what I'm saying? But you want to say, well, you know what? Look, pretty good. You know, just whatever. I mean, it can be anyway. But you allow people to draw the wrong conclusion, and that's wrong. And that's a little thing, but it's all of the little things that can add up to big things. It can cause a slow fade in our life. So all I'm saying is we need to, during this time, examine ourselves. The law is, it tells us to obey the law of the land. It didn't say obey the spiritual law of the land. It said obey the law of the land, and laws are there. The stop sign here is there for a reason. The stop sign here, I don't care how many they have between here and the moon, that stop sign over there is to do one thing, is for your and my safety. That's what it's for. And just because it's my birthday doesn't give me a right to run it today. Because if you do, you may hit somebody who may also have a birthday on the same day as you, and y'all both got the same idea. You know what I mean? But the law is there. Speed limit. We're all in a hurry. You know? and we can all justify. We say this, the law can say, I'm meddling, I know, I'm meddling, I'm going to meddle a while. Here's the deal, the law says 65, or the law says 70. Go to Texas, it can say 80. You know, just pick a place you want to go to. But no matter where you go, we will say, did you obey the law on the speed limit? And most of us will say, because you know you didn't. So you're going to say, I was in the flow of traffic. I'm going with the flow of traffic. Now, like, that makes everything good, you know? Because what did you just do? You just said, everybody was sinning, and I guess I was sinning a little bit because they were still passing me up when I was in the flow of traffic. You know, that's what we do. We make our conscience feel better. We do that. The second one is all state troopers will give you 10 miles over the speed limit. I don't know where that lie came from, but that is a lie. They don't give you 10 miles over the speed limit. I don't know. And the thing is, they may give you that. But here's the deal. If they're going to give you 10, it's just because he don't want to get his car out there in the rain and pull you over. And he may give you 15 or 20 if it's pouring down rain. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is that state trooper, if his radar gun goes off, he can stop you and he can give you a ticket. Usually they don't, for whatever reason. Everybody says, I mean, see what I'm doing right now? This is the nature of man. It started with Adam. Because when Adam and them sinned, he blamed the woman. Did he not? So we have in us, that's the flesh. It's just in us. That's why we have to examine ourselves during this time and season, because we have that nature about us. We just have this nature just to blame somebody else. And really, come home because you want to sleep well. You don't want to sit here and just say, I sped today, who do I repent to? Do I have to go find me a cop somewhere and tell them that I was speeding today or whatever? You don't do that. But I'm telling you this, when you live a life of that, it's a slow fade. Then all of the little things, because what did Yeshua tell the people? The little foxes spoils the vine. The little foxes, it's all of these little things that add up over time. And then all of a sudden things are happening to us and we don't know why, because we're looking at, I'm not breaking the big commandments. But yet the laws of the land I can break because it's inconvenient to me. They don't realize I need to get there. Most law enforcement officers, when they pull you over, they usually ask you a question. What's your hurry? If you've ever been pulled over, that's usually what they say. What's your hurry? And nobody tells the truth. You know, now everybody, every now and then they may somebody tell you something, like, my wife's having a baby, I'm trying to get there. Well, where's your wife? I don't know, but I'm trying to get to the hospital. You know what I mean? There may be some of that going on. Look, this is just the nature of man. And the Father, he created us, he knows us, he's asking us to deal with it, and he's asking us to be truthful, celebrate the feast with sincerity and truth. It's not just, this is truth. And if we're not lining up with certain areas of this, I can believe that most people in this building here lines up with most of this. And I'm talking about myself first. But I can guarantee you there's probably certain times and certain, well, just like the speeding deal. Me and Jeremiah, we was coming back from Walkaway doing a godly thing. You know what I'm saying? We was at Walkaway. We were over there, you know, getting ready for Sukkot. We're over there helping set up. We're over there and we're helping them, you know, with their place, upgrading their place. And man, we got God all over us. And me and him's talking. If you've ever been on the bypass from 45 to 98, which is 63 bypass, there's only six cars between there. One of them's a state trooper. And I'm going, and I'm going. Well, I was doing like 80-something. You know, I'm just going. I don't know I'm doing that fast. Me and him's talking. You know, we're just speaking in tongues to one another and all that. You know, we're just having a good old time. You know, we're just spiritual. I mean, our halos is about sticking out the window. I mean, everything's going good. Yeah, he was trying to sleep, and I was preaching to him, putting him to sleep. So we're going. Angelic fellowship. I like that word. We just have an angelic fellowship. But all of a sudden, there was a blue light special. You know? I'm coming here, I see him, and it's always, if you ever notice, you never can see a police officer 6 miles down the road. It's always when he pops over the hill. It's like, well, how do they do that? How do they know just to get behind the hill when you're doing that and they come over it and you know you can't get on a brake fast enough? So I just let off the gas because I knew, because what does everybody in here do when you see a police officer? I don't care if you're doing the speed limit or not. You always move your foot. Do you not? So it shows you that in the nature of man, something's going on. If you're obeying the law, why do you pull your foot off? It's a habit because most of the time we're going too fast. I was going too fast. He pulled over. He didn't even tell me his name. I never saw his face. He come up to the car and said, license, car. He wrote me a letter, a love letter. And he brought it back and said, have a nice day. I said, thank you very much. Well, I never saw his face. I don't know if Jeremiah saw his face. I never saw his face. Never come in there and said, never asked me anything. Except one question, he says, do you know how fast you were going or something? And I told him. Because he had on the ticket, acknowledged what he was doing. And I told him the truth. I thought that'd count for something. You know what I'm saying? It does pay. It does pay for something. Are we not like that? We're like that. Passover is a time and a season where Yeshua paid for all of our nonsense. He paid for all of our, we think we got 10 miles over the speed limit. He paid for, well, I didn't tell a regular lie, maybe a white lie. He paid for all of our sins, all of our excuses, Adam blaming his wife for everything. That's what Passover is all about. It's about him being a sacrifice, a propitiation, because I'm telling you, it says the wages of sin is death. There has to be a payday for sin. And Yeshua took that. He paid. That's what it means. He had this. Yahweh was sort of a little angry with mankind. You know how angry he was with mankind? In the days of Noah, he killed them all but eight. And spare just a few animals. That's his wrath, because his wrath, there has to be a payment for what we do. That's why when you do things great and you obey him, then what? He rewards you. He gives you a payment. Because it says sin, when we sin, it's a wage. There's a payment that has to happen. That's why Yeshua said this. Guys, it's so much better living in the day that we live in a way. As long as you don't think that you can misuse his grace and you can misuse his mercy. You can't have this greasy grace and sloppy agape stuff. You can't have that. That ain't what this means. But Yeshua did say this. Hey, in the old covenant, you committed adultery. What happened to you? Stoned. You murdered. You stoned. You dead. Idolatry. You died. Do you know if you broke the Sabbath, you died. You come against your mom and your dad in a wrong way, you died. There's not a sacrifice in there. There's not a bull, goat, sheep. And today, you know what he tells us? His mercy, but he'll tell us. He says, I say these things that you sin not. But if you do, you have a advocate with the Father. We have an advocate today to where if we goof up, and a lot of these things, because there are sins unto death. You'll hear these in the scriptures. There are sins unto death, and that's those sins unto death. And there are sins not unto death. These are things like, if you steal a loaf of bread, or, you know, you have to pay restitution. Every time you sin, sometimes it was restitution. If you stole, you had to give back 20%. If you stole something, you just didn't bring somebody their money back. You had to bring 20% or whatever and add to it. Same with tithe. People don't realize that. When you don't pay your tithe, then if you do pay it, you're supposed to bring a fifth back. You're supposed to bring 20% back on top of it. Most people would just say, well, you know, I'll just pick up right here. The thing about it is he knows. He's got the best accountant in the world. But he's not just counting tithes and offerings. He's counting everything. But when we repent, and when we really repent, and we have a remorseful heart, he can forgive us of our sins. And that's what it's all about. He can forgive us of our sins. Because an advocate is one who stands before the judge in your case. He does all the speaking. When we get to that place and we stand before the Father on that day, let Yeshua do all the talking. He's the one, he's our high priest, he's our advocate. Definitely during the time of judgment, it ain't going to be good for you to first tell Yahweh, I thought there was a grace in the speed limit. Or I thought there was a grace in telling somebody a lie because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. And all of the above. That don't work there. You see what I'm saying? Let Yeshua, because Yeshua is going to tell him, you know what? He deserved death. But he has a certificate of my blood in that death that covers him. And he has repented and he is in right standing. And the Father is going to say, as long as there's a death, I'm good. Because the wages of sin is death. You can't pass that up. That's how serious this is. And that's why I wanted to say today, if there's anybody here that don't know Yeshua as your Savior, this is a great day to know Him as your Savior. Because that's what it's all about. The whole is about coming in community and in communion with Him. When you read the rest of which it talks about, well, let me just read the rest of this. I'm not going to go to Corinthians. But he says, 6 days, the seventh day, verse 22, he says, and you shall observe the Feast of Weeks. What's the Feast of Weeks? What do we call it? Shavuot. A lot of times people get confused because of the word seven Sabbaths, but the word Sabbath can mean weeks sometimes. And here he tells you that you're going to observe the Feast of Weeks. There's going to be 49 days or 7 weeks that we're going to celebrate. We're going to count the Omer till that time. It links us. And it says we're going to have the first fruits of the wheat harvest. That's what happened during that day. And it says then we have the Feast of Ingathering, and that's the Feast of what? Sukkot. That's at the end of the year. So what I wanted to show you here is this, that in the very statement, making a covenant, he has in that Shabbat, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, which is there's a first fruits in each feast. He has Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, and also Sukkot, the ingathering. Because it's very important. These appointed times and seasons are of the utmost importance. Once they became a part of me, I understood it. Used to, back in the olden days, we would try to do the feast, and we tried it all different ways. But really what it was more of a mechanical way of doing it. That's just the way I felt. I can't speak for Tammy. Because we were learning. We wasn't really sure. We wasn't in Hebrew roots yet. But we were doing Passover. We were doing some of these things. That's why I was saying about foot washing. If foot washing is mechanical to you, all you're going to do is get your feet wet. But it is something that will transform your life. Because it talks about servitude. It's about humbling yourself. Yeshua, on that last day, and like I said, I'll talk about this next week, but Yeshua, on that night, here you have the apostles or the disciples at the time. They're sitting here, and it's only them. But he's trying to share with them. He says, right now, you don't know what I'm doing, but you will know. Shavuot, whenever the Holy Spirit fell, guess what? They realized, you know what? We have to be servants. We have to be servants. We have to bow, just like what you were saying. It's not about how much more you know than your friend. But it's about proper relationship to be able to get yourself in a place on common ground that you can minister to your friend that can get him to the next place that the Father wants to draw him. Do you know the Father is wanting to draw us all into this? But it says, many are called, few choose. Now, if you're new here, you've always heard it as many are called and few are chosen. That's not really the right. You look that up in the Greek, and it's many are called and few choose. The thing is he calls many, but not everybody's choosing to accept him and follow him in his ways. What is he doing today for us? I always say, look at the way I'm dressed. I can tell you I didn't learn this in the Baptist church. You know what I'm saying? And really what this is right now is just to identify our Hebrew heritage, Because somebody said this, Steve did, I think, in his reading. Understand this, and I'm going to close with this. Yeshua is the vine, and we are the what? The branches. So Yeshua is the tree. Yahweh is the root system. Yeshua is the tree. We are grafted into what? That tree. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether you're a Hivite, parasite, terminite, don't matter. The thing about it is, when we're grafted in Yeshua, what's feeding the branches? Yahweh and Yeshua, which is one, is feeding the branches. And guys, we're hanging on. We're hanging on to this. If you're not going to do it His way, He told us in Romans 11, He can cut you off. It don't take much for Him to just have an angel to bring one of them swords down and cut that branch off. Because He told us, He told the Gentiles, He told the nations being grafted in, He said, don't get all puffed up and proud about this. Because if He didn't spare the natural branch, He sure won't spare you either. Because this is about covenant. This is about covenant, and it's about doing what the tree asks us to do. Because we're grafted in, and guess what? When we're grafted into this tree, the branches, you're not going to have a branch of oranges and a branch of lemons and a branch of whatever, because you know what? I just feel like being a pecan. Be a pecan. He'll send a squirrel out and knock you off the limb. You know what I'm saying? But what He's trying to tell you is, whatever we're grafted into, that very life that comes from the roots, which is Yahweh, which is this word itself, when this comes through that tree and it comes out that branches and we start bearing fruit, we're going to look like what this word says we're going to look like. Amen? That's what this is saying. Christianity today, I'm afraid, looks like a mixed tree. Just like Hansi said, you got an apple and an orange, you got an orple. There's a lot of orples out there. Don't know what it wants to be. Don't know what it is. Because of trying to do it your own way. I put down in here, feasts and festivals were commanded by Yahweh. The Christmases and the Easters, the Mardi Gras, the Halloweens, all that's Catholic. These are all replacements. They're replacements. The Father is telling us, when we're grafted into the tree has to feed us. There's something called that we're to eat of the tree of life. But what did mankind do? He ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He ate of a tree that was not designed for him. And because of eating for something that you're not designed to do, look at the fruit of us eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look at mankind. Even if He sends Yeshua to fix all of our problems, how many people really believe it? How many people care? Like I said last week, I believe this with all of my heart. In Christianity as a whole, maybe, and I told Brian, and Brian said, I don't think you got that many. I said, probably 10% really love God. They really love Yahweh. They love Yeshua. Even if they know Him by Jesus, they love Him. 90% is in it for fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. Because all that's been taught through most of the mainstreams is heaven and hell. The gospel never really even mentions that all the way through. Because it says the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is near. Do you know that the kingdom of Elohim, we're walking in it right now. But we've been taught that it's over yonder on the other side. Have we not been taught that? So what we do is we survive. We survive. This is what we've been taught. We survive. Make it through. Hopefully I don't stump my toe too bad. Maybe I can get in by the skin of my teeth. You hear all of these things. But He's saying the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. Because where did He place Adam? He placed Adam on the earth. And if Yahweh is making a new heaven and a what? And a new earth. And the city of Jerusalem is coming down to where? to the earth, the new earth. Guys, if Yahweh wanted us in heaven bothering Him, He'd have placed us there. But what He did do for us is He said, you will have dominion because the earth is heaven. It was never to be a separation from the beginning. He placed man here to have dominion. Where did Yahweh walk with Adam? In the midst of the garden. Yahweh's not somewhere that He wasn't. He was always there. Is there not a scripture that says, I don't know if it was Isaiah, one of the prophets says, if you go even to the grave, He's there. David, that's right. No matter where I go, He's there. The whole thing is we've had so many twisted things in our theology that we've divided and conquered. We separated and we say, well, I don't want to be here no more. I don't want to be in this mess either. But do you know what? He's going to purge this mess. And He's going to change it. And Yeshua is going to sit in that new city. And I will tell you, I don't care if it's the wilderness. If Yeshua's in the wilderness, that's where I want to be. I want to be wherever He's at. And that's what this season is all about, is making sure that wherever He's at, because He's the one that's going to feed us. He's the one that's going to clothe us. He's the one that's going to make sure that our shoes don't wear out. He's the one that takes care of us. Because why? We made a covenant. He made a covenant with us, and we accepted that covenant. Think of it. He made the covenant. We accepted the covenant. Abraham, whenever he told him what to do, cut the sacrifices in half. But he knew that Abraham wasn't the Savior of the world. So he put Abraham to sleep. Yeshua walked through that covenant. Set a smoking fire pot. That was Yeshua that day. That walked through those sacrifices. Abraham sleeping. Why? Because Abraham couldn't do it in himself. Abraham's no different than you and me. Abraham couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't die for our sins. Abraham took his son, was going to sacrifice him, build his faith enough to know, I'm going to trust the Father. Because if you can remember in Abraham's life, whenever he went to Egypt, he said, Sarah, tell him you're my sister. That's not a total lie, but it was a lie because she was his wife. And he knew by saying that she was just my sister, what they would believe, that was a lie. So what does it tell you about the story of Abraham? We're just like him. But eventually Abraham got to the place where he said, you know what? I'm going to believe in you 100%. You promised me a seed. You promised me a seed. Now you're telling me to kill him. But I believe you enough that if I kill him, you're going to raise him up. That's where he's trying to bring us to. To know if he asks us to give everything back that he's given us, that he has promised us, guess what? He's going to give us more. And he's going to give us better. And you know what? He has given us better. He gave us his son. And he's allowed us to be his body. But allowing us to be his body, guys, he deserves better. I know he deserves better than me. And he deserves better from the body of Messiah all over this world. And we're fighting because our denomination is right and somebody else's is wrong. That's stupid. I ain't supposed to say that word. That's insane. I'm just saying, that is beyond. That is so beyond not what this is about. Because guys, I guarantee you, when we get there and he returns and he's going to straighten out this mess, no doubt. And we're going to find out that probably 90% of everything we ever thought about is wrong. I'm just saying. I've gone through my life and I see this. Every feast cycle, He works on me and He changes my heart to the better. Every feast cycle. I would have thought by now, you know, I would have been in a place to where I got this. But I'm just at a place now is what's next? You know, what's next? What's He going to do? But you know what? He's revealing more and more every time we walk through these things. And I just want everybody to know that even if you know Yeshua is your Lord and Savior, and you've had a hiccup in your life, you can pray there. You can come to this altar and pray. You can have somebody pray with you. If you don't know Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity to make Him your King today. And I'll pray with you. You know, maybe have some of the elders, if y'all want to come down, you know, in just a moment, just to be, just, guys, this is about you. This is about me personally. And it's about you. But you have to understand one thing. When it's all said and done, it's about us. It's about us. If I ain't got my act together, Achan cost a lot of people their lives because he sinned. There was sin in the camp. If there's sin in his camp, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we suffer through sicknesses. We suffer through all kind of craziness because he's teaching us to love one another. He's teaching us to trust one another. He's teaching us to depend upon one another. And I'm telling you, that ain't easy sometimes. But do you know what? That's not an option. Because we're a body. We're His body. And if there's many branches that's stuck in that tree, and there are, and He's commanded us to do one thing, bear fruit. I'm not to worry about my wife's fruit. I'm to worry about my fruit. Now, if there's an issue in our life, then we'll take care of it. But first, I need to make sure that the fruit that I'm bearing is good, that somebody else can eat. And I'm not dropping some old nasty thing that only the honeybees eat when it hits the ground is rotten. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I think the Father is ministering to us. Us, but if you're in a family, if the husband and wife ain't getting along, the children will suffer. If you don't believe that, you can ask a lot of broken homes and a lot of broken families that's been over the centuries. And you know whose fault that is? The body of Messiah. That's whose fault that is. Because what we do is we get into our four no more. And you know what? We are responsible. We are our brother's keeper. Are we going to be Abel or are we going to be Cain? That's really what it amounts to. And we are our brother's keeper. And that's why it's so important. We as a family. And do you know that in this place, there's a lot of new people that's come here that their homes and their lives have been broken. And the thing is do you know they're dependent upon your prayers to get them through to the next battle? Because, you know, they'll sit here and they'll say, you know, I have enough faith to pray, but I just feel so unworthy because of my life that's happened in the past. You know what? Forget the past. If you have Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, take that rearview mirror and throw that thing out the window. And don't look behind you. Because behind you doesn't matter. It's what's in front of you that matters. The Father can cleanse those things that are behind you. He can heal those things. And He can make it to where like that never existed. Will there be a scar? Yep. But do you know what the scar is good for? It's to help the next person. They're steadily looking in a rearview mirror. And you're going to say, hey, you see this scar? That's all you need. You reach in there and you rip that rearview mirror out and you throw it. Because Yeshua has taken care of everything. Amen. They're going to play. If you have anything you need to do, you want to pray, like I said, wherever. I'm going to start it off with just a prayer and then just have your liberty to do what you feel you need to do. Because this is between you and the Father in every area of your life.